In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first Sunday after Pentecost is Trinity Sunday, an occasion for Christians to confess their faith in the triune God. Today is a day for worshiping God's revelation as three persons who are together, one divinity, one God. It is a celebration of the Father's gift of His only begotten Son for the salvation of sinners and for the sending of the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and minds with His gifts. The triune God is over above commanding His universe, and He is also very personally, right down here, active in His creation. He is great. He is majestic. He is all-powerful. He is amazing and eternal. But He is also personal and came to be with us through the person of Jesus Christ. Of course, the Christian truth of one divine substance and yet three divine persons is a doctrine that challenges our reason. We all have learned in our early years of mathematics that 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals... All right, good. I'm glad you all passed with me that class. So we can say that this Christian teaching is beyond reason, and yet not contrary to reason. Therefore, any illustration about the Trinity may capture the truth of this biblical teaching in some ways, and yet it will likely fall short in other ways. In the history of Christianity, the mystery of the Trinity has sometimes been illustrated by an equilateral triangle. Such a triangle has three equal sides and angles, although one geometrical figure. Sometimes the triangle is enhanced with three concentric circles. Thereby, the one triangle represents the one divine essence, and the circles represent the three persons. We have that represented here in our pyramid in the pulpit, when on our white pyramids. Christians have also employed images from nature to illustrate the Trinity. An apple has skin, the meaty fruit, and the seeds within this one apple. Space consists of length, breadth, and depth. Time consists of the past, present, and the future. Even mathematics can serve to demonstrate the Christian view of the Trinity, since 1 times 1 times 1 is still equals. When not pressed beyond each point of comparison, all these illustrations can assist us in grasping this important Christian doctrine that certainly is beyond reason, but yet not contrary to it. Throughout history, many have challenged the Christian teaching of the Holy Trinity. But this is not something that started yesterday. It's not something new. It always has happened. And we can see that happening in our gospel reading for today from John chapter 8. Here Jesus shows the Jewish leaders who reject Him that He is indeed the eternal Son of the Father, known already to Abraham in the Old Testament. The Son receives honor from the Father as He graciously promises that all in Him will never see death. So Jesus, as the Son of the Father from eternity, gives life. Jesus, as the Son of the Father, gives us life. John chapter 8 shows the Christian doctrine that Jesus is of one substance with the Father and equally eternal. But the Jewish leaders would have none of it. And in order to make their point, they intentionally attempt to dishonor Jesus. They said to him in verse 48, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" In Middle Eastern cultures of this era, honor played a great role. In order to nullify Jesus and his message, the Jewish leaders publicly attacked the honor of Jesus, referring to him as a religious outcast and demon-possessed. What they don't know is that as they dishonored Jesus, they also dishonor the Father, and thus they reject the Trinity. And Jesus answered them, while rejecting the person and work of Christ, rejects the Trinity. Rejecting the person and work of Christ rejects the Trinity. Jesus answered them in verse 49, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." Jesus says that he truly honors the Father, and Jesus connects honoring him with honoring the Father. Someone who does not know the Son does not know God at all. God reveals himself in the second person of the Trinity, and those that don't recognize and honor that Jesus is true God don't know God at all and don't honor the Father. Today, various groups dishonor Christ, which results in dishonoring the Trinity as well. Islam views Christianity as distorted and Jesus merely as a human prophet. Jehovah's Witness and Mormons see Jesus as a God, but not the eternal Son of God being of one substance with the Father. Prosperity Gospel views Jesus as a divine vending machine to reward our faithfulness with worldly success and happiness. This view ignores our sin and our need for a Savior from sin. He overlooks Jesus' role in the Trinity as the truly divine and human Redeemer from sin. However, Jesus is the Son of the Father from eternity. His identity as the Son becomes apparent here in John chapter 8. Jesus says in verse 15, "Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge." Jesus intensifies the honor-glory argument in this verse and thus again points to the Trinity. Not only does Jesus honor the Father, but the Father glorifies the Son. As verse 54 also says, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God." And ironically, the Father brings glory to the Son by sending him to the cross to win salvation for all of us. Only the Son truly knows the Father. And Jesus says that the Jewish leaders do not know the Father, even though they claim such knowledge. Jesus says in verse 55, "But you have not known him. I know him, and if I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word." Jesus here distinguishes how he knows the Father versus how the Jewish leaders do. Unfortunately, this distinction is lost in the translation to English. But when you look at the original Greek, the verb used and translated as to know clarifies this distinction, because Jesus used one verb to talk about the Jewish leaders and a different one to talk about him. But we have to translate it as to know, the same thing. So when saying that the Jews have not known God, the verb used can refer to just a beginning knowledge, an intuitive knowledge. When Jesus says that he knows God, the verb can refer to an innate knowledge, a knowledge gained by experience with God through his word. So when Jesus says that he knows the Father, he means that he has been with the Father. When Jesus says that the Jews do not know the Father, even though they call him their God, Jesus means that they do not realize who God really is. Although God has revealed himself to them through his word and is revealing himself to them through Jesus right in front of them. That's why Jesus says in verse 56 that your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Even Abraham knew God the right way and demonstrated that Jesus is the Son of the Father from eternity. Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Jesus, the day of the Lord, which includes rescue from God's people, but condemnation for those who reject him. Abraham received a preview of Christ's gracious day, particularly in two events. First, Abraham rejoiced at the miraculous birth of his son Isaac, which revealed the greater miraculous birth of Jesus, the ultimate source of blessing to many nations, the promise he made to Abraham. And second, in the near sacrifice of Isaac, Abraham received a preview of the sacrifice of God's own son. And he even said, God provides, when he saw the lamb. And additionally, since Abraham still lives in heaven at the time of Christ, he joyfully views the day of Christ. The Jews could not fit all that with their reason. And so, they questioned Jesus on verse 57. You are not yet 50 years old? And have you seen Abraham? They don't get it. And Jesus, then to make things very clear, answered them with a very powerful and clear message that they would understand what he's talking about. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. They knew that word, I am. With these words, Jesus reveals himself as divine and eternal, that he is the God I am, the God who appeared in the Old Testament to Moses in the burning bush. We need to be thankful that the Holy Spirit inspired John to write many I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. And I encourage you to look for them as you read the Gospel of John. Those statements declare Jesus' divinity and reveal him as the God of the Old Testament, who now fulfills it by his coming. Jesus was sent by the Father to give us life. Jesus was sent by the Father to give us life. But how does he do it? How does he do that? Well, Jesus says in verse 51, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Keeping God's word first involves the gift of faith that clings to Christ's gracious promise of salvation and eternal life. And this keeping his word also involves the result of that gift of salvation by a life that shows our identity as redeemed Christians. A redeemed Christian can be recognized by the fruits of faithful obedience to God's word. With that kind of faith and life, as a result of keeping God's word, death has no grasp on us. We will pass through death one day because of our sins, but death will not hold us. Jesus' forgiveness grants us life. And this includes forgiveness for all the times we may distort the person and the work of Christ for us, dishonoring him and the Trinity. Jesus' sacrificial life and death paid for all our sins to grant us forgiveness. Baptized into his death and resurrection, we know that life has the final word. Jesus, the Son of the Father from eternity, gives us life. And the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, works in the means of grace, God's word and the sacraments, to bring us to faith in Christ and keep us to life eternal. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our daily lives, we will meet people of different world religions and beliefs who perhaps do not share a confession of Trinity. I can tell you that lecturing and arguing the topic will likely not convince them. Rather, befriend those around you, regardless of their religious conviction. Let them see the fruits of faith in you. And when the opportunity presents itself, let them know your hope in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Tell them the difference that Jesus makes in your life. And invite them to church or to watch us online. By hearing the gospel, by hearing the good news of Jesus, God in person, they may also be brought to eternal life through our one God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In his name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.